It's time for overtime.
And I know just the guy to talk to.
In the world of sport, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Tell me more, tell me more.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Welcome in to another beautiful Thursday edition of Overtime. It smells like football outside. We are creeping and clawing, sitting, waiting, and wishing for football season. And we got you covered on this Thursday, July 17th edition of Overtime. Welcome into the show. I'm your host, as always, Burt Ramin. And we are assuredly ready to rumble into a little bit of a different themed Minnesota Vikings Thursday today. Dustin Baker is overseas, continuing to see sights, sounds, pictures, videos, and castle stays over at his family trip in Ireland. We're going to go a different direction today for Minnesota Vikings Thursday, talking with former Viking linebacker Ben Lieber in hour number one, and Viking analyst and WideLeft.Football's author Arif Hassan will join us in hour number two. We're going to ask them both just a few similar questions, including outside of J.J. McCarthy, which is the obvious answer to the Minnesota Vikings' hinge point this season. I'll say it again and again and again. A lot hinges on that young man's performance at the quarterback position. If he's great, Vikings could be great. If he's good, Vikings could be pretty darn good. If he's bad, we'll chalk it up to 2026 and beyond and hope for a better look in the future for those Minnesota Vikings. So certainly he's a big hinge point on the season. But what other players or position groups, coaching staff members, or other forces, internal or external, could have a big bearing on the Vikings season this fall? Viking linebacker Ben Lieber, hour one. Arif Hassan of the Wide Left Post, hour two. We'll also sprinkle in some NBA, Major League Baseball chatter, NFL news, including maybe, finally, second-round picks will start to sign their contracts after the latest signing out in the Bay Area for San Francisco. We'll see if we start to get some traction surrounding second-round picks in the NFL. This is a year unlike any other. Typically, we'll have one, maybe two first-round picks drag their signings out into late June, early July. We still have one unsigned first-round pick that might be opting to go back to college, and Shamar Stewart there in Cincinnati. We'll wait and see in terms of how that all plays out with the Bengals and the pass rusher from Texas A&M. We'll dive into that a little bit later. But second-round picks, for whatever reason, the reason being contract guarantees, guaranteed money, default contract, injury settlement, etc. Part of the issue is that second-round picks are looking to carve out a little bit more respect for themselves at this stage. No CBA negotiations coming up imminently in the NFL, but second-round picks kind of banding together, arm in arm, and demanding a little bit more guarantees in their contracts. So we've seen very few, a total of three second-round picks in the NFL ink their deals. We did get one done yesterday, and maybe it'll open up the floodgates and more deals on the way. That's the latest from the NFL for now. We'll dive into second-round pick signings, and Von Miller gets a new home. Not what I prognosticated with the Detroit Lions coming calling, but another team that needed all sorts of pass rush help, getting the services of the veteran Super Bowl 50 MVP. We'll dive right in to where Von Miller landed and the impact on his new team coming up at the end of hour number one. Hour two, an update from the Open Championship. Phil Mickelson nearing the leaderboard, one under par. He is done for the day. Pretty solid round, the best opening round for Phil in quite some time. We dive into the leaderboard and the latest odds in hour number two. Arif Hassan of the Wide Left Post, and also the good, the bad, and the ugly before we are done. Major League Baseball still remains off as part of the All-Star Break festivities. Action will resume across the league tomorrow. Red Sox and Cubs will be the first game league-wide. That is a 1:20 start time from Wrigley. You can watch that game team on the MLB Network. Other matchups on the way, White Sox at Pirates, Royals at Marlins, Guardians home to the A's, Tigers at Rangers, Cardinals at D-backs, Dodgers host the Brewers, and the Twins will open a series against the Colorado Rockies. Gotta win at least two of those games, if not the old sweeperoo of the Blake Street Bombers. 7 o'clock pregame coverage, 7:40, the official start time tomorrow night. You can listen to every Minnesota Twins baseball game this season right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. It's ESPN Sioux Falls. We are now officially 2 weeks away from preseason football in the NFL. Chargers and Lions from Canton, Ohio. That'll be Thursday, July the 31st, 7 o'clock on NBC. Vikings open the preseason against the Texans at home. Packers will be at home for their preseason opener against the New York Jets. Both of those games on Saturday, August the 9th. Let's talk quarterbacks here first, because this doesn't sit right with me. There's no answer that I could disagree with more than the answers that are about to come your way. Two different individuals talking about the same topic. We will start with Courtney Cronin, who covers the Chicago Bears. She's talking about elite quarterbacks in the league. If there could be any quarterback out there that could dethrone Patrick Mahomes between now and this time next year as the top quarterback in the NFL, here's Courtney Cronin.
If it changes this year, like you could see an active, real-time changing of the guard where the Chiefs aren't as formidable as they've been in the past couple of years of automatically being penciled into the AFC championship game before the season even starts, it would either be Josh Allen or Joe Burrow undoing that for Mahomes.
So that's Courtney Cronin's take. Only Josh Allen or Joe Burrow ascending to the top quarterback in the league. Right now, I'm not scared to say it, I don't think Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. You could call me absolutely crazy, but in this moment, right now, not legacy, not what he's done, that is for sure. Most accomplished in the league, best player in the league over the last decade is Patrick Mahomes. That is perfectly fine. I am co-signing that. But right now, I don't know. I feel like Josh Allen is a more dominant player. He just won MVP after all. He did not get as far in the postseason as Pat Mahomes. Mahomes beat him head-to-head. I understand that. But if you're asking me right now, you can start the season with any quarterback, Bert, I'm probably going Josh Allen, and then I go Mahomes, then I go Burrow, then I go Lamar Jackson, and then at number five, we talked about it last week, right now, based on what we know, what we've seen, who they are, I guess Jalen Hurts number five for me. I don't feel great about it. I'd go Stafford six, and I would go Jaden Daniels at number seven right now in my quarterback ranking. So, Evan Cohen had another crack at the bat. What quarterback could surpass Mahomes on top of the mountain? He also went a different direction.
The only answer of anyone in my mind that could come close to surpassing Patrick Mahomes in rankings currently, not overall, not all time, not for a career, but literally playing out this season and then heading into next season, only one guy. If Jalen Hurts wins a second Super Bowl, gets back-to-back, and would have been in three, he is the only person to me that could come close to surpassing Mahomes relative to a current in-the-moment rankings.
I don't think Jalen Hurts could surpass Patrick Mahomes this year, and even if he were to go and win the MVP in the Super Bowl, he would be wildly accomplished in terms of two Super Bowl wins, three Super Bowl appearances, an MVP runner-up, and an MVP if he were to win it this year. But how can you not put Lamar Jackson in this conversation in terms of guys that could be talked about as the best quarterback in the league? Josh Allen is an obvious answer. Joe Burrow is an obvious answer. Lamar Jackson, so disrespected. The big knock on him has been postseason success. If he wins MVP this year and the Ravens win the Super Bowl, which is not that crazy of a scenario, how are we not talking about Lamar Jackson as the best quarterback in the NFL? I don't know why this has to be so darn rigid and so darn respectful of the past. We're talking about in the moment, people. We're not talking about Pat Mahomes winning the Super Bowls and off to this great career start, amazing stuff. He has regressed just a little bit, and that is not a slight. He was unbelievable and still is unbelievable, but his stats have come down a bit. That's fine. He's going to be in the conversation for MVP and Pro Bowl and probably another deep playoff run. But there's all sorts of scenarios here. Who wins the Super Bowl? Who could usurp the throne from Patrick Mahomes? I just said it a minute ago. It's Josh Allen for me, number one today in the NFL. That is no disrespect to Mahomes, but if you look at the players last year, year before that, it ain't close in terms of on-field performance in the regular season. Now, postseason, I get it. Mahomes and the Chiefs are the best winners in the league right now, but you're talking just about the quarterback position and what you're seeing from that spot in leadership moments, I'm going Josh Allen one. That might be unpopular, but I'm going to stand on that once again. And Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow and Allen, that trio, all three could be talked about next offseason, this time as the best quarterback in the league. And I wouldn't fight you if Burrow wins the MVP, goes on and wins the Super Bowl. I do think you have to chalk in Super Bowl win for this to happen definitively for Mahomes, Allen, Jackson, or Hurts, or anybody like that. You got to go and win a Super Bowl, probably an MVP, in order to start being talked about and making that leap beyond Patrick Mahomes, just in terms of quarterback you most want to have on your roster entering the 2026 season. It's an interesting debate. Curious your thoughts as always. You can chime in. Tell me how dumb I am, how wrong I am, as always, 605-362-3776. Now, a different changing of the gear, if you will, in the NFL. We did get the news that Von Miller has joined a team. Kevin Clark on the landing spot in D.C. for the one-time Bronco great.
This is a really, really good addition. What I would compare it to is when a contender goes out and gets a bit of an aging big man for the playoff run, and just say, hey, this guy's going to give us 15, 20 minutes. He's going to play physical. He knows what to do. He's going to give us YMCA moves on some of these young guys and just put some fellas in hell on the low post. It's that kind of move. This is not Von Miller from 2016. It's not Von Miller from 2020. This is a Von Miller you're going to have a plan for him. You have to manage it. But the reason I think it's important, Courtney, and the reason I think it's a good signing is that, as I said, 14% pressure rate, top five, you turn him loose in the NFC divisional round. You wait and turn him loose in the NFC title game. That's where he's going to make his impact. He is not going to play 50 snaps and rush the passer a bunch in October. That's not why you make this signing.
Von Miller's a pinch hitter at this point of his career. No disrespect. He's long in the tooth. He got out to an electrifying start in his career, beating up Cam Newton in the Super Bowl, winning it in the Denver Broncos fashion back in Super Bowl 50 out in the Bay Area. He's a dynamic playmaker still, but only in spurts. And again, that's just the nature of who he is at this point. Von Miller joining a defense that certainly needs help at pass rush. The names on the roster are not really recognizable in terms of pass rushers. Dorrance Armstrong, Dietrich Wise, Jacob Martin, Clelin Ferrell. I'm not so sure that moves the needle at all. Of course, famously, DC a couple years ago shipped off Chase Young and Montez Sweat, and now they're still working to find their replacements in that 4-2 defensive front. And Von Miller, not a perfect scheme fit, but definitely a veteran that can come in and mentor the young guys, maybe get in during spot duty, big moments of a ball game where you got to get some pressure, you got to get after the quarterback. I think that's a good signing for DC. Would have been a good signing for Detroit also, but Von Miller lands with the Commanders just yesterday. College football chatter to get to now. Marcus Freeman, who was the head coach of the runner-up this year, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, talking about if the pressure has changed at all since last season's success for Notre Dame.
Well, I think every year I've been the head coach, and I'm sure many years before I was a head coach, the ultimate goal is to be a national champion. Like, that's why you coach. That's why you play. You want to win this game and be at the mountaintop. And so for us to be as close as we were last year, I think for everybody in our program told us that, okay, we know what it takes, mm-hmm. right? We can be good enough. We can get there. And we can compete with the best of the best. And so I think for us, it's helped us now with the younger generation. Because at the end of the day, talent matters. At the end of the day, you have to get some of those best players in the country that fit our football program and our university to come to Notre Dame. And I think being able to make that national championship run has really opened the eyes of a lot of high school kids.
Notre Dame Irish head coach Marcus Freeman, very successful season a year ago. Quarterback change in store. See what the Irish have in front of them here in 2025. Expectations, as always, pretty darn sky high in South Bend. Paul Finebaum, SEC follower, analyst extraordinaire, talking about the Nick Saban rumblings. Could he see Saban back on the sidelines?
I think he better be on the cut line of the playoffs at the minimum. But I want to go back to Nick Saban, if I could divert for a second, mm-hmm. because that story yeah. came out of here yesterday from one of his former players. And I know a lot of people thought maybe he would go to LSU. Nick Saban's not going to LSU. But I got Kevin, I don't know what you think about this, but I have the perfect job for Nick Saban. 45 minutes from his brand new home in Jupiter, go down to Miami, shake that system up. Unfortunately, the first thing he would have to do as the Dolphins coach, where he once coached, is get rid of Tua Tagovailoa, a quarterback who won him a national championship. But I think if he got Jim Harbaugh money, which he's certainly deserving, and maybe a little more, I think that's where people ought to look if Nick Saban ever resurfaced.
So Paul Feinbaum saying a trip to the National Football League could be next for Nick Saban. We're going to dive into a very interesting commentary from a Midwest-based FBS football coach who is pitching a 30-team college football playoff. Is it ludicrous? Does it make sense? We'll get that clip to you coming up in hour number two. Finishing up the scorecard, NASCAR races at Dover this weekend, Sunday, 1 o'clock on TNT. PGA Tour is underway from the Open Championship. Phil Mickelson, one of the stories of the day, 1-under-70 to start out the tournament. He is among the leaders at Royal Portrush. We'll get you a look at the leaderboard here very, very soon on the show. That runs through Sunday. And WNBA Finals from last night, Phoenix loses to Minnesota in Minneapolis, 79-66. The Lynx still have the best record in the WNBA, 20-4. And the Indiana Fever were once again without Caitlin Clark last night. They lose to the Liberty on the road, 98-77. New York is 15-6. Indiana drops to 12-11. And lastly, Vegas beats up on Dallas. Close game, 90-86. But Asia Wilson, 37 points and 10 rebounds as Vegas equalizes their record at 11-11. Next up for the league, they're off until the All-Star game coming up Saturday night. That can be seen 7:30 on ABC. And lastly, quick blurb from the NBA on the scorecard. Your top male athlete in the world last night at the ESPYs, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
A dream come true. And for dreams to come true, it takes a village. And my village is nothing but short. Wow. I am messing up here. Okay. To achieve your dreams, it takes a village, and my village has been nothing short of special since the start of my journey.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, your male athlete of the year, one of many highlights from last night's ESPYs on ESPN. Quick Open Championship scoreboard update. Jacob Skov-Olesen and Haotong Li are currently atop the leaderboard, tied with Matt Fitzpatrick at 4-under par. Other names up there, Scotty Scheffler. Sound the presses there. It's a 3-under par, 68 for round number one for the outright favorite in the tournament. Other names near the top of the leaderboard at 3-under, Harris English, Tyrell Hatton, Lucas Glover, and also at 2-under, Sergio Garcia, Lee Westwood, Justin Leonard at 2-under, Phil Mickelson 1-under, along with John Rahm and Shane Lowry. Early moments at the Open Championship at Royal Portrush. Lastly here, let's dive quickly into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. There's only one place to start, and that's with the Summit League Basketball Tournament. The agreement between the conference and the Denny Sanford Premier Center to host the conference's basketball championships right here in Sioux Falls has been extended 3 additional years, keeping one of the region's marquee events in Sioux Falls through 2029. Contract extension was approved by the Summit League's President's Council and announced by Commissioner Josh Fenton this morning. Quote, Sioux Falls and the Denny Sanford Premier Center have been tremendous hosts for our basketball championships for over a decade, and we're thrilled to announce this extension. We are grateful for the partnerships with the city and Premier Center, along with the support shown by our passionate fans and broader corporate community. Again, all sorts of support coming out for this decision. Contract extension through 2029. It ain't going anywhere. The Summit League Basketball Tournament will remain in Sioux Falls through at least 2029. And lastly, in case you missed it, the Key to the City rivalry game between USF and Augustana is in early October this year, and it's at USF at Bob Young Field. October 4th is the date. Augie, USF for another great rivalry tilt coming up between two teams that figure to be very much in the title mix in the NSIC this year. USF is the home school, and they're offering a Key to the City ticketing combo available now. You can get one ticket to the Augie game and one ticket to any other home game on the schedule right now. Just follow the link, ESPNSiouxFalls.com. We have a story there. Also, if you're on Twitter, at USF Cougars FB, the place to find that deal, the Key to the City combo, a ticket to the Augie game and a ticket to any other home game, all at an affordable price. Other home games, Northern State, Duluth, Winona State, and Wayne State on the schedule this year at Bob Young Field for Sioux Falls Cougar football. We'll dive into our first break of the day. When we come back, it is Minnesota Vikings Thursday after all. football, no better way than to crank that up and talk to a former Minnesota Viking linebacker, Ben Lieber, set to join us on this Thursday, July 17th edition of Overtime. Right around the corner. Take the break. Come back talking to Ben Lieber on this Thursday edition of Overtime right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.
Stream us online, stream us on the app. Streaming now, Overtime with Burt Rameen on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Just getting going on this Thursday, July 17th edition of Overtime. Plenty of Vikings talk on the way, including our guest right now, former Viking linebacker Ben Lieber is our guest. You can follow him on Twitter at Nacho Lieber. He joins us on the ESPN hotline. Ben, always great to talk to you. Just about football season. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Hope you're doing well. And yeah, I can't believe it. You know, we always, you know, in this profession, we always joke around about really enjoy your 4th of July because right after that, mentally, it's football season. And now every day as we inch closer, it's for real, man. I mean, as a player, this is the time of year where you get real antsy and you get real anxious. Your wife or girlfriend usually hates you because your mind is not at home. It's already at training camp and sort of the misery that is training camp. So yeah, this is it.
Ben, before we go any further, I wanted to talk to you about this time of year when you were in playing mode in your playing career. Did you kind of have an off-season time block that was roped off for family vacation? Do you have any memorable family vacations that you took, or maybe yearly vacations you took in the off season just to get the monkey off your back and focus on something else outside of football?
Oh, 100%. I mean, if you were on a team, unfortunately, where you weren't playing for much in December, mm-hmm. you were already planning your trip right when the season. I mean, I had teammates that would have their wives pick them up on the Monday after the last game in the parking lot of the team facility, like packed up, ready to go. They weren't wasting a single second. You know, my wife and I, and now my kids, we still go to the Bahamas every year, at sometime during spring break or at the end of the kind of end of the football season. And that all started when I was a player before we even had kids. We found this little quiet spot in the Bahamas, even when we were in San Diego and we'd fly across the country. And that was our true, like, can't wait for it off season vacation, where the reason why we found this place so special was, you know, this football season's 100 miles an hour. There's a lot going on. It's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of energy and emotion. And you're physically beat up. And this island in particular was very quiet. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no casinos. There's no golf. There's no crazy tourists. It's just park it on the beach. It's got a pink sand beach. It's a beautiful water. And you just sit sort of quietly and you have nice dinners and you do that for like a week or 10 days and you're kind of rejuvenated. So we still do that trip because we just want to get away from the season and we still look forward to it.
And certainly don't divulge that location. I want to keep it quiet for you. Ben Lieber, our guest here, former Viking linebacker, former Charger, former Ram linebacker as well. Got to get your take on the Chargers' modern throwbacks. Of course, to you, those are kind of the Charger jerseys, the helmet, the dark blue, not the light blue, not the white, the dark blue helmet with the Thunderbolt on the side. Numbers are addition to the helmet this year. What did you think about the modern throwbacks out there for the L.A. Chargers that are the San Diego Charger uniforms?
You know, I like them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still think the powder blues are the best.
Yeah.
But I do like that nostalgic feel. I mean, it's weird that, you know, I only spent 4 years there. And, you know, we spent some off seasons there as well, even when I was in Minnesota. But it was a really, you know, those 4 years really imprinted my life in a big way. And that organization has as well. You know, I still have a text thread with a bunch of my teammates from San Diego days. We still have it going currently, even to this day. And even the coaches are involved as well. And it's just a special group of guys and a special organization for me. And so to see, you know, to see the, you know, kind of like what I played in, basically the Navy helmets, like, it's cool. You know, it like brings me back and it makes me feel all good inside and all nostalgic. But, you know, when I was there and we actually got to wear the powder blues, which are basically their base uniform now.
Yep.
I mean, that was legit. I mean, when we walked into Qualcomm Stadium, which was an absolute dump, but when we walked into the locker room and we saw all these powder blues with the white helmets lined up in our lockers, I mean, like, we were ready to play. We're like, this is so sweet. We look so cold in these things. So, yeah, I kind of like all the combinations they offer these players.
And certainly a lot of throwbacks on the way across the league. I'm hoping the Atlanta Falcons at some point will adopt that red helmet full time, because that thing is absolutely sweet. Former Viking linebacker Ben Lieber is our guest here, Thursday edition of Overtime, hour number one. What stands out to you, Ben, about the Vikings offseason? Obviously, they were pretty big spenders in free agency. They drafted well. They got their backup quarterback in the draft. They also enhanced the number of draft picks they had with a total of five. Since that time and throughout the offseason, what's a takeaway or two for you?
I think that they smartly addressed every single need that they're looking for. And that's all the way down to the draft. And all of us as fans, you know, you're always on the outside looking in, hoping that, hey, are they listening to us? You know, are they listening to what the fans think and see what we think that we see as far as holes and vulnerabilities and question marks? And, you know, I think that they satisfied everybody with what we did in free agency. We spent a good amount of money. We addressed some absolute positions of need. I'm super excited about Hargrave joining the team. I think he's going to be an absolute difference maker on that defensive line. It sounds like, you know, on paper, once we get Darisaw back, we're going to have a rock star offensive line if everybody's healthy. And you know, not only us, but everybody else is excited about what the possibilities are with J.J. McCarthy. So they've addressed everything. We have some new faces. We have a guy like Rondale Moore at wide receiver that I think, I'm hoping and crossing my fingers, could be an absolute X factor in this offense to make some plays in the open field. You know, we even picked up a couple corners that I think, if they are what they say they are, big, long, physical corners on the outside that can give our rush even a little bit more time to get to the quarterback, then I think both offense and defense are set when it comes to lineup. Now we just have to have a quarterback that can play consistent.
Ben, obviously you made a lot of hay in the National Football League as a linebacker, so kind of the opposite of that position has always been running back at any level of football. When you're in Pop Warner in high school, if you're a two-way player, linebacker, running back are kind of tied together, that physical position on either side of the football, a lot of action around the football, a lot of tackling going on. In terms of your read on the Viking backfield right now, what stands out about what Aaron Jones does so well, what the newcomer Jordan Mason does so well, and how they'll kind of piece it together in the backfield this year?
Well, I think Jordan Mason's going to surprise a lot of people. I think there is this idea that he's just truly more of a downhill, thicker back that's going to be a little bit of the thunder to the lightning that is Aaron Jones. And I think he's going to be just as lightning fast. He's going to break a lot of tackles. I think he's going to have that dynamic piece to his game as well. He's not just a straight ahead, you know, vertical player. I think that he's got good feet. And I think that in the absence of Aaron Jones, if we ever have to get to that point in a season where he gets dinged up or he's injured, you've got a true running back, like not just a fill-in guy. He's a true running back that's going to, you know, go all three downs, and you're not going to miss anything at all. So I think now when you pair him up with a healthy Aaron Jones, which by the way had the most touches of his career last year in this offense, I think it's going to be, I think as a defense, it's going to make it very difficult to prepare for both of them, because you're going to have fresh legs on the field at all times. And two guys that I think that are, you know, sometimes as linebackers, you kind of take a deep breath when one guy comes in. You're like, okay, whew, they're bringing in like maybe they're a slower footed guy and, you know, maybe more of a thumper, but at least you're not going to get juked out of your shorts. And then, you know, the inverse is true as well. And so you get a little bit of a break mentally, but I think these guys, both of them, can make people miss, and they can also run through players as well. So complete backs out of both of them. I can't wait to see how we run this offense. Hopefully it's a little bit more of a run first, play action thing, and then take some deeper shots with our athletes on the outside. But yeah, how much balance are we going to have with these guys?
And certainly a lot of question marks ahead of the season. August 9th will be the preseason opener for the Minnesota Vikings. You could be there on us. You'll find out how to win tickets later on in the weeks to come here on the show. That preseason opener at home against the Texans Saturday, August 9th. Wrapping up our conversation now, former Viking linebacker Ben Lieber is our guest. You can find him tagged in today's show log on Twitter at Nacho Lieber on Twitter. The hinge point this year, obviously, is quarterback play. What do you get out of J.J. McCarthy? I said off the jump today, if he's great, the Vikings are great. If he's good, Vikings are still pretty darn good. If he's bad or needs some time, I don't really know what we see. 6, 7, 8 wins for Minnesota, still a really good roster. Outside of J.J., though, can you give me another hinge point this season? Position group, coaching staff, player, individual, internal, external factor that is going to be a big hinge point this year for Minnesota, Ben?
Well, I sort of alluded to it earlier, but I think, you know, that cornerback position with Isaiah Rodgers coming in, they all seem like they love him. Jeff Okuda sounds like he had a really, really good offseason. And, you know, I didn't follow his career that well in the off seasons, but maybe that's the type of player he is. Maybe he shines in the offseason and doesn't, you know, maybe he loses that shine once the pads come on. I don't really know. All I know is they're very excited about him. He's a big physical guy, obviously looking for a fresh start. He's definitely going to get a fair shot to play a lot of snaps in this defense because B-Flow is known just to play the best players. Don't care who you are. Don't care what your name is. Don't care what your reputation that preceded you was. He's going to play the best players in the field. So I think for me is, can those guys step up? Can they be the force on the outside, on the edges that we need of this defense? And can we find the depth? You know, can we find if those guys are who we think they are and they get a lot of snaps and Mekhi Blackmon actually is a starter, then how much depth can we find behind them? Because unfortunately, I feel like the last, it seems like the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had a lot of injuries to that cornerback spot. And it seems like halfway through the season, we're just kind of digging through sort of the free agent trash pile, saying like, okay, can we get this guy to play? Can this guy come here and get ready on a Tuesday pickup and go play some actual significant snaps on Sunday? You know, it's that sort of thing. So developing quality starters and depth will be a big question mark.
Minnesota Vikings season right around the corner. Preseason opener Saturday, August 9th at home to Houston. Regular season opener, big stage for J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings in Chicago. Monday Night Football on Monday, September 8th. Former Viking linebacker Ben Lieber at Nacho Lieber on Twitter. Also the co-host of Twin Cities Live. You can find him on Twitter at Nacho Lieber. Ben, always great to have you on the show. We'll talk again real soon. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Can't wait for the season to start. And, let's do this again once the season gets going.
Hey, looking forward to it. Former Viking linebacker Ben Lieber, our guest. Then when we come back, we dive right back in to the broad strokes of the sports world, NBA, Major League Baseball, an update on a cancer battle for Ryan Sandberg. He was here in town just last year for the Legends for Kids. Excuse me, 2 years ago for Legends for Kids. An update on his cancer battle, cancer diagnosis recently for Ryan Sandberg, the Chicago Cub legend, and more from the sports world. NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL talk still on the way in hour number one. We take the break, back with more on this Thursday edition of Overtime right here on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.
Don't miss a moment of sports action. Stay connected and download the app for Overtime on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you on this Minnesota Vikings Thursday edition of Overtime. Typically, we got Dustin Baker in studio across from us, but that is a physical impossibility today because Baker overseas in Ireland. The Baker family overseas in Ireland this week. He's going to be back on Wednesday of next week for a Minnesota Vikings Wednesday edition of Overtime. We still got you covered, though. Former Viking linebacker Ben Lieber moments ago. Great stuff from him, including a comment on the hinge point to the Minnesota Vikings season that is not J.J. McCarthy. That's the obvious one. say it again and again and again. If he's really good, if he's good, if he's just okay, Vikings have a win now roster that will be in the postseason. You can mark it here first. I'm saying that as a Packer fan. I hate to say it. Makes me sick. I don't feel good about it, but the Vikings are a really good team. And if the quarterback is just good, as we've seen in years past, they can get to some pretty promised lands, a.k.a. the postseason, pretty darn easily despite the divisional challenge. NFL news aplenty, all sorts of spice and substance coming out of the National Football League at the end of hour number one. But right now, update from the world of Major League Baseball first, and then a toe dip into the NBA. Chicago Cubs legend Ryne Sandberg said yesterday that he is, quote, continuing to fight cancer and is prioritizing time with those closest to him. Posted a letter addressed to fans and extended baseball family on Instagram. I wanted to share an update regarding my health, says Sandberg, the 65-year-old. It's been a challenging few months as I've been going through treatment on a regular basis. While I'm continuing to fight, I'm looking forward to making the most of every day with my loving family and friends. Haven't been to Wrigley Field as much as I had hoped in the first half, but I'm watching every game and I'm excited for the second half. He threw out the first pitch surrounded by fellow Cubs greats before the home opener back on April 4th. In January of last year, Ryne Sandberg announced that he had been diagnosed with prostate cancer. Then last August, he announced that he was cancer-free. But then in December, he said that the cancer has recurred and spread, vowed to, quote, continue to be positive, strong, and fight to beat this. All the best with Ryne Sandberg. Tremendous human being. Was here in town as part of the Legends for Kids at Sanford and the Sanford Pentagon 2 years ago. Amazing guy, amazing family, amazing story, and an amazing future ahead as he continues his fight against cancer. Other news from Major League Baseball, the Royals reacquired veteran utility player Adam Frazier yesterday on an all-star break trade with the Pirates. Kansas City sent minor league infielder Cam Devaney to Pittsburgh in exchange. The 33-year-old Frazier has played in 78 games this season, split between second, left field, and right field, and has hit .255 with 21 RBI. Spent last season with Kansas City after bouncing around the majors following his career start with the Pirates, and has played every position except catcher and pitcher during his career since debuting in 2016. Royals looking for a boost as they are in that midsection and that competitive midsection of the AL Central right now with the Twins and the Guardians. Three-time All-NBA All-Star Bradley Beal is on the move. This news from yesterday, but driving it home here with some more details, agreeing to a contract buyout with the Phoenix Suns. Any plans to join the Clippers, very intriguing landing spot, on a 2-year, $11 million deal, very affordable, with a player option after he clears waivers. The player option for 26-27 clears the way for the 32-year-old Beal to be one of the top available players in free agency next summer. This dude has been available, on the move, trade target, trade rumor for, I don't know, feels like a decade. It's really been about 5 years. And for the Clippers, Beal is a natural fit alongside Kawhi Leonard and James Harden as a scorer, playmaker, and co-star. L.A. also signed Brooke Lopez in free agency and traded Norman Powell to the Heat in a three-team deal that brought forward John Collins to the Clippers from the Jazz. So, yeah, another big three, and Bradley Beal is a part of it. Kawhi, Harden, Beal. They posted a graphic. Who's stopping this trio? Father Time would be my answer, a.k.a. also included in that the injury bug. I'm not feeling very optimistic about the L.A. Clippers, this is a pretty good get, especially with the contract figure, 2 years, $11 million. Well, WNBA fans might be robbed of something pretty darn special this weekend for the All-Star Game. Fever star guard Caitlin Clark was ruled out of last night's game against the Liberty in Brooklyn after suffering a right groin injury in the final minute of Tuesday's win against Connecticut. Status of Clark moving forward, who has dealt with numerous injury issues for much of the season, for the All-Star festivities this weekend remains uncertain. The only benefit here is there's not going to be the added stress of travel. The All-Star game and festivities are in Indianapolis. Fever head coach Stephanie White told reporters after Tuesday's game that Clark, quote, felt a little something in her groin, had underwent imaging yesterday to determine the extent of the injury, and White did not comment specifically on the results, but did say, I consider it good news just because for me, it's anything that we're talking about that's still day-to-day, always good news for me. But that's a layman's viewpoint. So, again, how do I read into that? Not to overtly speculate on injuries here, but if it's day-to-day and not something more severe, probably dealing with a strain sprain instead of a tear there in the groin area for Caitlin Clark. We'll wait and see, but again, I would probably say at this point, I don't expect her to be involved in the All-Star game. If she is, that would be a very, very big boost for the ratings and the eyeballs and the ears and the attention on the WNBA All-Star game. The game itself coming up on Saturday night, 7:30 on ABC. There is a lot of news to get to in the National Football League, including Von Miller's new home with the Washington Commanders. How does he fit in? Where could he play on that defense? And how much will he be called on to play for that Commander defense? Intriguing signing there, Von Miller to DC. Also, what's going on with the veteran wide receiver market? There's still two big names out there, Keenan Allen and Amari Cooper. We'll dissect some landing spots for the latter. Amari Cooper and what's going on there? What's taken so long? Maybe it's a camp signing for Amari Cooper. We'll wait and see. Landing spots and more coming up. Latest from the NFL on the way, including three breakout Green Bay Packers. It's Viking Thursday, but I'm going to tick you off and tell you what Packers are going to light it up this fall on the gridiron. That's coming up next on Overtime.
It's so convenient. Sports on the go. Download the free app now. This is ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you, set to round out and wrap up our number one Minnesota Vikings-based Thursday edition of Overtime here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO. Stay tuned tomorrow. Another high school football preview on the way. Very excited to keep on dotting the map in our area and previewing South Dakota high school football season. Earlier this week, talk with Sioux Falls Lincoln head coach Jared Fredenberg. Looking forward to talking to your coach here real soon as well. 605-362-3776 is always the call-in number if you'd like to weigh in on the show. Let's get into the NFL news, where we start on a very somber note. Last week, we told you former Texans and Eagles linebacker Brian Braman was battling cancer, and as of today, Brian Braman passed away after seeking treatment this year for a rare aggressive form of cancer. That's according to his agent. Braman passing away at the age of just 38 years old, had undergone multiple surgeries during treatment in Seattle. According to a GoFundMe page set up to help him with expenses, Braman had been diagnosed with cancer back in February, gone way too soon at the age of 38, and he leaves behind two daughters, age 11 and 8, and his agent, Sean Stellato, with a quote to KPRC2 in Houston, "Brian, people saw this enormous human being, but his heart was as big as his body. His spirit so motivating. He was so real and genuine with everybody. That made him special. It's hard. I feel like I lost my firstborn. This kid, he gave me his bed every time I came to Philadelphia. He could threaten me if I didn't stay with him. That's something I'll always cherish. My heart hurts today." The GoFundMe for Braman raised more than $88,000. Former Texan star J.J. Watt giving $10,000 and other teammates also contributing. Rest in peace, brother. J.J. Watt writing on social media, gone far too soon. That is the truth. Just 38 years old, Brian Braman, NFL community, Texans community, Eagles community, mourning the loss of a young man who starred in the NFL. Brian Braman passing away today at the age of just 38. The Washington Commanders are signing veteran defensive end Von Miller, a move designed to bolster their pass rush and increase their ability to close out games on defense. Miller posted two pictures of himself in a DC jersey on his Instagram account last night, has recorded 129 and a half career sacks. He is 16th currently on the all-time list, and he still must pass a physical for the deal to become official, but it's a one-year deal according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. Von Miller is now 36 years old. Believe it or not, you want to feel old, that's a fact. Played the last three seasons with the Bills, recording 14 sacks, eight of which came in year one and six last year. Washington hopes he can do what he did for the Rams in 2021, serve as a final piece of a Super Bowl title run. Rams acquired him in a midseason trade and then posted five sacks over eight regular season games and four more in the playoffs. En route to the Super Bowl win that year over the Bengals, Von Miller is still a pretty good player, but I said it in hour number one, more like a pinch hitter, spot duty kind of player. I don't think he's going to come in there and give you 16 games and 16, 17 games and be a starter. I think he's that spot duty, big third down, passing situations, run and chase situations, get your hand up and knock down a pass situations. Von Miller, a good get for a Commanders defense that is certainly lacking in star power at the pass rush unit. Well, Amari Cooper remains unsigned as the free agency goes deep into the offseason. And according to NFL Spin Zone, they've delivered five landing spots that make sense for the veteran receiver. One team I've been hammering the table to make some sort of move. I don't care if they do or they don't, but they need to go get Amari Cooper or go get Keenan Allen. And that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers are another team that make a lot of sense. According to NFL Spin Zone, DK Metcalf now in the mix. The Steelers have a physical wide receiver one who could win downfield. What the team is missing is a consistent route technician. That's what Cooper is. And Pittsburgh should be the first team making the call to Cooper's agency over the last couple of weeks, and hopefully maybe it's a whole conversation of we want to go light in training camp. He's a veteran. We don't want to wear out the body. We want to go light, so let's sign him in a couple of weeks. Maybe there's an agreement already in place. We don't know that, but Amari Cooper, very much a lot of interested teams on the way. Other landing spots in the article, Jets, Niners, Raiders, and the Arizona Cardinals. That one intriguing as Cooper could come in and be that veteran presence on that Cardinals roster with all sorts of young receiving talent. The San Francisco 49ers have reached a contract agreement with defensive tackle Alfred Collins as of last night. This normally would not be that big of a deal, but Collins happens to be a second-round pick in this year's NFL draft. Sources told Adam Schefter that Collins' signing is expected to trigger multiple other second-round deals. This is a year unlike any other. Typically, first-rounders are the last to sign, and there's still one first-rounder in Cincinnati that has yet to sign his deal. But hardly any second-rounders have got their deals done because these players have kind of banded together and are looking for a little bit more contract language, guarantee, something of that ilk to get the deals done. As of now, the only two other second-round picks that have signed, linebacker Carson Swasinger of the Cleveland Browns and Texans wide receiver Iowa State alum Jaden Higgins has gotten his deal done, but that's it outside of Alfred Collins. So hopefully in the days to come, we'll see a lot more second-round picks get their deals done. Well, they always say be careful around fireworks. L.A. Chargers running back Najee Harris was not. Over the 4th of July holiday, he sustained an eye injury in a fireworks mishap on the 4th of July and will likely begin training camp on the non-football injury illness list. That's according to general manager Joe Hortiz. If Harris ends up on the NFI list, Hortiz says he doesn't expect the stay to be long. Nothing is set in stone. If Harris is placed on the list, he can return to practice when cleared by the team. If he remains on the list after roster cutdown, he'll have to miss at least the first four games of the regular season. Multiple people were injured, and a friend of Harris lost fingers during the 4th of July incident. Harris's agent, Doug Hendrickson, said that the client's injury is superficial and that the running back is expected to be ready for the upcoming season. So bad news, good news, all wound into one for Najee Harris, who looks to be in the mix for lead back carries there in L.A., along with rookie Omarion Hampton. Well, we told you yesterday the Denver Broncos got their first-round pick signed finally. Rookie cornerback Jahdae Barron reported to training camp with other Broncos rookies Wednesday after reaching an agreement on his contract, leaving Shamar Stewart as the only unsigned first-round pick from April's draft. Barron, number 20 overall to the Broncos, got the deal done with a signing bonus of $9.8 million. And let's talk Vikings before we talk Packers. Justin Jefferson talking about his young quarterback J.J. McCarthy. One of the keys to the Vikings season is the development of quarterback J.J. McCarthy. According to Pro Football Talk, breaking news, wide receiver Justin Jefferson didn't get much time to work with McCarthy before the quarterback's season-ending knee injury last year, and he's working to strengthen their connection this offseason. Jefferson told Jason Fitz of Yahoo Sports that he is, quote, trying to make him dialed in every chance that I can in hopes of building up the quarterback's confidence. Our lockers are right next to each other, said Justin Jefferson. So every chance that I can get to talk about football, about anything that goes on outside of football, just try to get to know him as much as I can, because when the season comes and whenever he's locked in, we're locked in, I want him to be just as confident as I am to make the plays out there. Veteran savvy move for Justin Jefferson, who, by the way, hot button debate cannon sort of deal, news item. The ESPN lists are out for all the positions out there, ranking quarterback, running back, wide receiver, guard, pass rusher, what have you. Justin Jefferson, not number one. Ja'Marr Chase, LSU teammate, the Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver, listed as number one. He can't go wrong between the two. I think those are the top two. Feel that way. Devontae Adams, I think, still in that mix. Cooper Kupp, not on that list, but certainly Amon-Ra St. Brown, Nico Collins, other names to know that are on that top 10 list right now, available at ESPN.com. And how about this, Vikings fans? Three Packers poised for stardom. According to ZoneCoverage.com, South Dakota's going to love this. Tucker Kraft, head coach Matt LaFleur, didn't mince words when discussing what could be on the horizon for the Packer young tight end shortly after last season ended. LaFleur was asked if Kraft can end up being a George Kittle or a Travis Kelce. LaFleur saying 100%, and I think that's on us to make sure that we find him and feature him. When he gets the ball in his hands, you feel him. So if there's an area that we got to do a better job on, I would say featuring the tight end. So Tucker Kraft on the breakout list. Another name on the list is Edgerrin Cooper. Really good playmaker, very limited role last season, came on at the end of the year. And if you watched any Packer football, you know that name, number 56, the stringy youngster at the linebacker position. Stringy, no disrespect to the stature, but man, that dude's an athletic freak. He will be a breakout star. And the third guy on this list, courtesy of ZoneCoverage.com, I don't really agree with, if I'm being honest, for the Green Bay Packers. I'd love to see it, but there's another name that I think is more apt to break out this year. My pick would have been cornerback, safety, box linebacker Evan Williams, who was dinged up at the time this year, but was all over the field. Shades of Micah Hyde in the Packer defense, but they've got Devontae Wyatt, the defensive tackle, entering year number four. It may seem odd to put a player on this list who's set to enter his fourth year, but Wyatt fits the bill. Had a brilliant start to last season, had three sacks and six tackles for loss in the first four games. Ankle injury cost him the next three, and looking to slide into that role, usurp the throne on the Packer D-line from Kenny Clark. Those are your three breakout Packers, according to ZoneCoverage.com. Tucker Kraft, Edgerrin Cooper, and Devontae Wyatt. That is hour number one. Hour number two is right around the corner. We begin it with headlines and highlights. Middle of the road, open championship update and odds. A big first round for lefty Phil Mickelson. Then we're talking Vikings. More Vikings talk. I'm treating you folks out there. Arif Hassan of Wide Left, wideleft.football, will join us at 12:30. We finish up today's show with the good, the bad, and the ugly. By the way, right around the corner, headlines and highlights. You'll want to stick around because one SEC football coach wants a 30-team CFP. 30 teams in the college football playoff. I'll tell you why. I don't hate it too much, as the structure he outlines here could be pretty darn fun to see. We'll dive in coming up next on Overtime.